Welcome back to another episode of Going There with the Grassy with your host, Ricky Z.
And hey, I'm Robin.
Awesome. Okay, so like we've spent the first like 20 minutes of us supposed to be, of what we're supposed to be recording, just talking, shooting the shit.
Chit-chatting.
Really, and like it was hilarious. So hopefully we can retain that for the rest of the episode.
Listen, I'm actually like very actively aware of how much vocal fry I have now. Why do I always talk like this?
Like it's weird. Like I don't like the sound of my voice normally, but here I am doing a podcast.
No. Same.
Yeah.
I think I'm just used to the sound of my voice at this point. Like especially like seeing like things on like I started my TikTok and then like I do a lot of Snapchatting about my life and narrating like cooking and like I do stories and stuff. So I like I hear my voice a lot and it doesn't sound the same way to me until I hear the recording and I'm like, ew.
There's so many times where like I'm thinking my voice isn't like high pitched, but then I'll hear a recording, I'm like, why do I sound so like childish right now? Oh my god,
is that me? I feel like my voice sounds so much lower to me.
It's I think my voice sounds like, is that me? Am I the kid here? What in the world? No, I can't be the kid. I can't be the kid. No, I'm not the kid. I mean, so this week's episode is inappropriate relationships, particularly the of the student teacher variety. Trigger warning, because you know that is a form of abuse, and you know, because there's usually grooming involved, and this, and a lot of people don't realize it's very glamorized actually in society, not just on TV, just like in general. So they're thinking,
yeah, we're going to talk about some teacher-student relationships when we go to 30-30 that I find absolutely repulsive on television.
Yes. So like that's going to be a thing. So we'll be talking about some O's. So Paige and Mr. Oleander, or Matt, as he's later called, and Sav and Miss O, or Winnie. And then we'll do Tristan and Mr. Yates.
Yeah, gosh. And I should also mention that, like, you are a teacher and I have been a teacher. So, like, we, like, have, like, understanding of how completely inappropriate this is.
It's very inappropriate. So, yes. So, number one, mandated reporter. Hello. There's that. Also, I work with small children, and small children are gross. All small children are gross. I've worked with teenagers, and they're gross as well. So, no.
Like, there's a certain point when you are the adult, and, like, you know that you're the adult, and this just becomes, like, I don't even want to really be friends with some of, like, my kids.
No.
Because I worked with kids, like, I taught the second grade, but I also, like, taught dance with kids from, like, age, like, 4 all the way up to 18.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now that, like, it's been, like, 7 or 8 years and they're, like, in their 20s, like, yeah, I'm okay with, like, having them, like, see my Snapchat and stuff. Like, that's fine.
Right.
Whatever. But I, even if they're, like, 24, 25, it's not like I want to go have a drink with them.
No.
Like, I'm like, our relationship is not like this.
Mm-mm.
I mean, like, they would have to be in their 30s before I would really want to, like...
Even then,
that's kind of weird. Like, it's just like, once you define your relationship as like teacher and student,
right?
I feel like there's always a power differential.
I even felt that way in college, where like clearly you're old enough to drink, and you know, being in the liberal arts, fine arts area, you know, we kind of like to party a good bit. And so, well, occasionally I've gone to like events where my professors are there and like we're drinking, and that's cool, you know, like I've done that before, but like it's no more, I still prefer them with their honoraries, you know.
Yeah.
Dr. So-and-so. I don't care that we're out drinking. Nope, you're Dr. So-and-so.
Listen, that's so funny, because like in the program that I was in, we referred to almost every single professor by their first names.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the theater program. And like I never felt like it was weird when they would be at a party, but I wouldn't want to like go hard and drink hard around them.
No.
Like I wouldn't be like having like a sip of a beer near them. But like now I'm like I'm in graduate school for history now, and I'm like started it, and I like the professors keep like asking us to, like they'll be like, oh, I want to get to know you outside of class. Like, why don't we meet at Winslow's, or well, Winslow's is just a tavern where I'm at, for a drink, like, after we're done with our online class, because, like, obviously everything is online right now because the world is on fire.
Right. Everything's burning.
Even then, for one thing, I don't really drink anymore. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
At all, for personal reasons. And for another thing, like, I just don't know if I want to, like, cross that boundary. And I'm 32.
Right.
Like, you know?
Yeah, I think that's just the awareness of the power dynamics, regardless mm-hmm. of how old you are. Regardless if you're the adult or not, and, like, if you're aware of the power dynamics of the relationship.
Yeah, it's like, I pay my bills, I'm good, like, but I don't want to, like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, we'll start off with Paige and Matt Oleander. Okay, so, what was this actor in prior to this? Because I feel like he was on another, like, Canadian show. Like, I feel like I've seen him in other things, and I can't put my finger on it. So, this happens the fourth and fifth season mm-hmm. Of Degrassi. So, at this point, like, Paige is a junior going into her senior year during this span of relationship. Mm-hmm.
It's just after the shooting.
Yes. So, Matt Oleander is a student teacher. So, clearly, yes, older, still, but college student.
I don't want to say that it's any less gross, but, like, no. the age gap is a little less concerning. If it happened 10 years later, the age gap wouldn't be weird. But
maybe, yeah, the thing is, though, like, there's a power dynamic, but even then, though, if you think about it, though, what are you doing as a 20 something looking at a high schooler, completely different points in your life, like, even that small frame of, like, 5 years between, like, a junior, senior in high school mm-hmm. and you being a junior and senior in college, you're completely different, a completely different, like,
person,
and you're a completely different area of your life. Like, you're in high school, you're still trying to, we're still trying to figure ourselves out in your 20s, but
you still, like, live with your parents, you still, like, have, like, curfews, you get grounded, you have, like, grades, proms, and, like, those are just not things that you have in college.
Right, and, like, you're still not old enough to do most recreational things, like
you're not
cigarettes,
drinking, you're not
drinking.
Smoking cigarettes, you're not, right.
Like, none of that.
You can't gamble.
Right. Like,
I don't think I've ever gambled.
You know, I've scratched a lottery ticket or two in my life, but that's basically it. But I'm just saying, like, there's that right there is striking number one for me. So we see Oleander, he's teaching yoga.
Yeah, they're doing, like, yoga after school as a way to, like, help the students, like,
cope.
Deal with the shooting that happens in season 4.
Yes.
Which I think is great. Like, before this, like, I was like, yeah, great idea. Yoga is really good, like, for people going through trauma. Like, I do yoga. And, mm-hmm. like, I mean, transparently, I have post-traumatic stress disorder. So, like, yoga is something that I do almost every day.
Right. And so he is student teaching in the media immersion class, which is... Simpson wasn't principal by then. He wasn't.
No, he was still teaching media immersion. And can I just say something about media immersion right now? I used to make fun of this concept of media immersion. And then this week, I got into this huge argument, like this 300 comment argument on a mutual friend of ours posted something about vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
And just this woman who was just like digging her heels in. And I was sitting there thinking, I was like, you know, I laugh about media immersions, but, like, they did teach them how to dissect the media and pick out propaganda in that class. Maybe we need media immersion.
Maybe the Canadians
were on to something.
Were on to something. Man, now that I think about it, you know what? You're probably right, honestly. So,
like, I was like, what is this class? No, we need this class. People do not know how to read the news.
So I think it was Hazel that was in the yoga class first, and so Paige joins her and immediately gets a crush on Mr. Oleander, the new student teacher. But first, we find out that he has a girlfriend named Charlie. I'm assuming it's very short-lived.
Yes. Can I also just say that, like, it's okay for Paige to have the crush. What's wrong is Matt acting on it.
Right. Yes.
Like, because Paige is a child at this point.
Yes, Paige is still a child. So eventually when they do start developing feelings for each other, they're trying to keep their relationship secret until they've been, have quite a few close calls. So they've been, they are seen by Mr. Simpson out in the public. Mm-hmm. And they were caught by the Queen Manuela Santos kissing.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you got a relationship like Manny and Paige, don't give that girl some ammo to use against you.
Right? Like, they are like, that is like the worst person who could have caught them.
Honestly, because of the way that Paige has no problem with popping off at the mouth at Manny. That's just like her usual like demeanor. She's just very condescending to a lot of people.
Yeah,
love, like, Paige.
But Paige, I love Paige. She can deliver a withering one-liner. Like,
yes.
No one else.
Like, condescension is her default. So when yes, exactly. So when you are normally like that, and then someone's got a secret over you, it might be the time to change your tone. But
right.
So. They have the secret relationship, it's and gross. Yes, you know, I think this is like the introduction of the boiler room. Yes.
Oh, is it?
Oh yeah, I'm looking on Wiki right now. It says they're having a secret relationship, even resorting to secret meetings in the boiler room.
Wow, the boiler room. That we talked about the boiler room last week.
Yeah, that damn boiler room is like,
just I feel a place like it's of, a boiler room in the roof.
Yeah, look, it's a place of sin, honestly. It is right. The place of sin. And so, like, there's this weird dynamic where Paige is almost like, I think she feels some type of way about dating an older boy. Like, most girls mm-hmm. tend to feel, especially when you're a teenager, oh, I have an older guy. I'm so mature.
Yeah, like, there's also, like,
I have an older guy.
A weird thing, like, and I feel like it was more prevalent during that time of my life that, like, dating someone older was acceptable if you were a girl.
Yes.
But like dating like an older woman or an older girl, like say like if like a junior wanted to date like a sophomore boy, it was not as like smiled upon.
No, it wasn't. Funnily enough though, like I remember in high school, like there were several boys that I hung out with because I was a band geek. I was a percussionist too. So,
oh yeah, you would be around the boys.
Yes, I was around the boys. They had at least three or four of them had like girlfriends that were like juniors and seniors. The strangest thing to me. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess because they, you know, they're technically cool by musical association.
Were they also in the band? Is really the question.
They were also like the girls were all in the band too.
Listen, like band and like drama. In high school are like cults, like
they are
only within those places.
Yeah, because you're with them all the time. And but yes, quite a few guys were dating older girls, and you know, whatever. But no, the idea like you're not only just dating like an older guy, but it's a college guy. He's a college guy, and he's about to have a career. He's a senior; he's about to graduate. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of insecurities there because this is an older person, so like he's mm-hmm. he stood her up at least once, and you know, he's not necessarily living the lifestyle that she's thinking of an older person.
He's like in college.
He's
a college kid.
He's poor, and like he's literally living in like a cheap apartment, and she doesn't necessarily trust him in that sense. But you know, it just wasn't a good beyond the fact that it was an inappropriate relationship. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a good relationship in general.
No, it really wasn't. Like, he was very like cagey with her, and he didn't
yes.
like share things with her either.
Yes.
And to be fair, I love Manny, obviously, but I don't take sides on my Manny and Paige situation because, like, I love Paige Michaelchuk so much, and, mm-hmm. like, she deserved better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she had, what was it, like, just broken up with Spinner, who treated her like crap.
Yes.
At the end of their relationship,
mm-hmm.
which I hated, because I actually like Paige and Spinner together.
I think because I think by that time, like, Paige was going through some financial things, too. Like, because she had that job.
Because she had to pay for Spinner's car repairs, because after Dean didn't get, like, a guilty sentence,
mm-hmm.
she lost her mind, stole Spinner's car, and crashed mm-hmm. it into Dean's car, which honestly is a very good for her moment for me.
Honestly.
And then she goes and she turns herself in, and, like, Spinner, like, is very sweet to her at first, and, like, it's like, I understand, like, what you just went through was re-traumatizing for you. But, like, she's getting jobs so that she can pay Spinner back for his car repairs.
Then he got, like, real douchey towards the end as far as, like, her, like, working.
Yeah, he, like, was making fun of her. And then, like, he was flirting with Manny, like, right under her nose, which...
Her work.
Spinner Ooh. And Manny is, like, a terrible pairing, by the way.
Right. Like, that's, like, another issue, too. So back to Paige and Oleander. So, you know, they get spotted by Mr. Simpson, and then Manny tells Hazel, and then, of course, because Paige and Manny's relationship is very strained because of the mm-hmm. Spinner situation.
It's strained because of Spirit Squad, because Paige is also, like, because she's dating Mr. Oleander, she's really stopped showing up to Spirit Squad.
Right, and Manny's been coming for her.
Yeah, she's not appreciating the fact that Manny is really picking up her slack.
Right.
Like, which, like, to be fair, I'm on Manny's side on that one.
Yeah.
Like, Paige, you want to be captain, you gotta be captain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no ma'am.
Right, and because I think, like, Manny was really good with running the Spirit Squad. And so, of course, Paige does not like to be outshined by Manny.
No, she does not. Especially after Spinner, like, basically left her for her.
Especially after, like, you know, the, was it Prom Queen? Was it, like, they had
Did
a little
already?
I think so. That's the one where Paige, like, ripped her dress.
Or was it
the same season?
I think it's the same season.
I think it's the end of that season, yes.
I think because they drop her. Oh, yeah, no, because it's when she's still with Mr. Oleander, because she doesn't have a date for prom.
Right.
Because he's not going to come to prom.
Mm-hmm.
And then she and Manny end up wearing the same dress. But, like, Manny assumed that she wasn't coming because they purposefully dropped her on Spirit Squad, which they did a lot of that on Degrassi.
That was shitty. That was shitty of Manny. Yes, because, like, she broke her leg.
Shantae and Darcy.
Yeah,
and they
that
just,
was
like,
really
dropped
shitty
her.
That was really shitty of them.
It's, like, super shitty of them to, like drop her. Like, literally, like, this is, like, when we were talking about last week, like, that all clubs have to have, like, a teacher sponsor. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
if a teacher sponsor had been involved, like, Manny, Darcy, and Shantae would have been suspended and kicked off of the Power Squad. Or was it Spirit Squad still? I think it was
Power,
still
Spirit Squad. No, it's Spirit Squad because it doesn't become Power Squad till Holiday. Yes.
Holiday.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. So, of course, like, because that, yes, season four is when we meet, what's his name? Oh my God, Jay and Silent Bob.
The
graphic
Kevin,
goes
Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith.
Listen, Alex would be so upset that I couldn't remember that.
Right. The Canadian, what is it? Jay and Silent Bob go Canadian A. Yes. Sorry, y'all. We're such a mess this weekend. And plus, it's raining outside, and, like, I'm sitting in the dark, contemplating my life on this weekend. But yes, so that's back to them, because we're getting tangents.
Yeah,
we're just
like tack on our, like, page and Manny storyline.
We will get ourselves together. I promise. So of course there is the famous line, because Paige and Manny get into a fight, and so when you get in the fight with. When you get into a fight with Manny, you better be ready to not have your shit spilled, because because at this point, she's fed up with Paige, number one, because of the Spirit Squad, and whatever issues they already have, because their relationship's always so up and down, depending on who's messing with who. Mm-hmm. And Manny goes, "Hey, Mr. Pedophile, I mean, Oleander, don't make your girlfriend Paige be more jealous of me." Because everybody's jealous of Manny, and that's facts.
I mean, that is facts, but
that
like,
is facts. Yeah. Not even just like as out loud, but it was in a crowded hallway. Like everybody
screamed it.
Right. There's a whole effing crowd because they're fighting already. So like there's a whole crowd watching it and she yells that out loud. And then of course
Miss Hasselhoff
goes. Yes, there's an investigation. Miss Hasselhoff goes, catches wind of it. And first Oleander says that they aren't dating, that Paige is stalking him.
Yeah, this was like so gross to me. Like,
if you want to like add up all the red flags with this dude, and like the red flags never stop. They really never stop with this guy. And then, of course, you know, eventually he admits that they're dating, and then he gets fired.
Yeah,
because you know that's look. So yes, it's a Canada, but I know in the States and in the state of Georgia, when I was in my last year of college and I was in my student teaching semester, mm-hmm. of course we had a big old meeting like right before we post student teaching, and they sat us through this presentation, and I think the presentation was like maybe three slides, like the big one where they're mm-hmm. talking about like code of ethics, and like the first three things they said, I guess, like don't do drugs. Yeah, don't do the drugs.
That sounds like Georgia.
Yeah, don't do the drugs. Don't touch the money. Don't have sex with the kids.
The fact that that has to be said at all is kind of gross to me, but, like, I mean, I guess they're covering their bases.
I mean, like, literally, if it's required of you to have a code of ethics talk with your student teachers, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs. don't get caught with drugs on campus, number one. Don't touch money from the students or the school. Don't steal money. And don't touch the kids like that. That's gross. So don't do it. So, like, yes. So, yes, that he was fired. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like, normally I would be surprised. I was surprised that there wasn't, like, issues with him, like, not being able to graduate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they said that, like, he got kicked out of teacher's college, but not out of college altogether.
Which, like, I feel like that would have been like one and the same.
In real life, like, getting kicked out of your program would not be enough of a punishment, because did he and Paige have sex? I don't know that they did, because she loses her virginity she has sex with Spinner like later in the season,
yeah,
like
mm-hmm.
after this is all over, but like when he's with Darcy, Jesus, like
God.
But, like, I don't think that they did. But, like, like, it is still, like, child molestation.
Right.
Like they definitely kissed.
Right. Like, there's definitely grooming involved. Mm-hmm. Like, you can clearly tell there's grooming involved, especially if he's, like, able to be like, oh, yeah, she's stalking me. No, sir.
I just hate that he threw her under the bus and made her look crazy and, like, tried to get her to lie for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's incredibly gross and like very like it was already gross, but like mm-hmm. it got even worse, and like this storyline doesn't even upset me as much as when we get to Tristan and Yates, but like this is a theme of like, oh, you need to lie to protect me. Mm-mm. You need to lie to protect me.
No, nope.
Because I know that I could lose my position and my job if
you're the adult, sir. No, sir.
Like, it's on you to not like sleep with a child.
Right. You're supposed to know better. Hello?
Exactly.
You're the one out of the two that's supposed to know better. Yes, yeah. Paige should know not to mess with teachers. Paige is
17, but she's 17.
She's 17, but you're also the adult who could say, no, stop. This is not okay. So,
like, Paige, you're a great girl. You should be able to find someone your own age.
Right. Like, yes. And eventually she does. But still, like, right. So... Thank you for Alex.
We love Alex always.
Mm. So, you know, they continue to date, and this is pretty long distance at some point.
Yeah, no, because he doesn't have a job anymore. He,
right.
like, goes to the Yukon to, like,
trees?
Chop wood or something.
Something to do with trees.
And he, like, tells her he's leaving for the whole summer, and he can't go to prom. That's why he can't go to prom. And I'm like, I figured the reason you couldn't go to prom is because you were the student teacher hooking up with a child.
Yeah, I feel like that would, like, get you banned from stepping on school property.
Yeah, I'm like, Do you really think you would have been welcomed at prom?
Hell no. Right.
Yeah, so that's when he goes away, and like Paige is all distraught at prom, and like she and Manny kind of make up. And yeah. Like
they come to some kind of understanding.
They come to some kind of understanding about stuff, but like he's gone for like a long time, I guess like this summer, and then he comes, or the winter break or something.
No, it's definitely the summer break because
oh yeah, because this was her junior year, and now we're going into mm-hmm. senior year.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, yes.
That makes sense. Yeah, when he comes back, though.
Golly.
He's smelly.
Yes. So they...
Gross.
Well, this is at least, like, he comes back in the beginning of season 5. And so, like, of course, like, this is around the time that, like, Paige is trying to get into Banting. So it might be, like, the end of the junior year, as I think about it. But, because, you know, they focus more on that on their junior year than they do their senior year. Because by that time, like, you're really trying to... No, I guess it was senior.
I think it's the beginning of her senior year. When
yeah, because they filmed the movie over the summer. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yes. So senior year. So Paige is like is so into getting into Banting because she wants to go to the business school, and
absolutely no reason other than she thinks she needs to go to this business school.
Right.
we'll get to that one day. It's
supposed to be the top school for this, and so she's really focused on like she's trying to get everybody to like think about their futures. And like, particularly like Alex, mm-hmm. you need to go to college. You're smart. Go on.
Because she's made friends with Alex while they've been at work at the movie theater.
Yes, it's very sweet, actually.
Because Alex thought she was a princess, and then like Paige kind of proved to her that she could be a hard worker.
Yes,
and like they have a really sweet friendship.
They really do.
I mean, like I love that whole arc with Paige and Alex.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, other than the end of it, because they did Alex dirty.
So Oleander has been gone for a while, and so like this is the beginning of season 5, and of course we're dealing with like stuff, some of aftermath of still of some of the shooting aftermath, and like Manny's infamous like pull my top down, I'm going to be famous deal.
Oh yeah.
Gosh. But whatever. Paige is focused on going to Banting. So Matt is coming into town. She's so excited. She got detention for something. And so like she's like going to be late. I can't remember what it was. Because I literally just watched this episode like not too long ago. But like she got detention for something. Because I remember Peter was in there. For the stuff with Manny.
Oh, yeah, because, like, she didn't do anything too crazy, and she was like,
yeah.
He sent nude videos to the whole school.
Right, right. I think she was, like, talking in class, completely ignoring the teacher at the time.
Well, that is very on brand.
Right, because she was looking at stuff for Banting. And so, like, she's rushing to get home because it's this big, hot date with her older boyfriend who's been away, and so she wants things to be, like, perfect, and so she goes to this fairly fancy restaurant in this cute little black dress with this little shawl on. And so, like, she was looking good, really cute. And so, she's sitting at the bar of this restaurant drinking nothing but like Perrier and lime. Having so, yes, yes. That the subtle, yes, the soda water and wine, not wine, lime. And like, she's had several glasses because she's waiting for this dude
to
show up very late. Look,
red flag.
Trash. And no calls, nothing. And shows up late. He finally shows up. She's so happy to see him. He looks grungy as F.
Horrible.
Like, he unshaven, literally looks like he just got off the boat somewhere. He's like, I didn't have a chance to get home. I came straight from the airport, whatever. Cool. And so she has gotten him this gift. It's like a organizer, it's a planner, mm-hmm. and she's like, "Oh yeah, it's like you said, your life has been pretty hectic, so you know, here's a planner."
That was kind of cute.
That was cute and practical, honestly. Yeah. Like honestly, I think that was cute and practical, especially if you're not being honest about what you really want in life to your girlfriend. So he's just like, "Yeah, I said my life is chaotic, but it doesn't mean like." I'm not happy with it. And so she's like, okay. And so of course she starts talking about Banting and what she wants to do and So I believe like Banting is far away from where Degrassi is. So she's like, yeah, I plan on moving there. I'm like, I'm hoping you'd move with me too. And he's just like, no. He's got a friend in Vancouver who's going to get him a job to paint houses. And he's just
this man's life has fallen apart.
It has. But like, it's the idea of like, she's got plans. That's the thing though. Like, that's what made me sad for Paige in this moment was that like, she's thinking that she's got this older, mature boyfriend and she's making plans for her future and she wants this person to be a part of it. And so yeah. That involves like making choices and like, you know, making hard decisions and sacrifices and like,
absolutely.
Like, cause I'm thinking she's hoping like this could be like a long term. Like, why would you want to move to
Vancouver and paint houses?
Right.
You could move with me to Banting and maybe you can even get to school there.
Right.
You
and like,
go back to college.
Like, us getting a place. It's almost like she's thinking like, well, they'll move in together and like start this little cute life together. And
he's like, trying to fix all her problems
right.
with Banting and Mr. Oleander.
Yeah. And but he's like, I don't want this cookie cutter life that you're planning. And I'm like, dude.
The face I just made. I realize this is like, you can't like see my face on a pod, but I was like, ew.
But also like, have you met your girlfriend? Have you met your girlfriend? Have you met Paige Michaelchuk?
This is expected behavior from Paige Michaelchuk.
Right. Like, this is her, like, planning ahead, wanting a perfect, like, this is totally her. Like, how have you not had this conversation or thought to have this conversation with her? Why are you waiting till now?
How much did they talk over the summer?
That's what I wondered. Like, they must not have it all. They must not have. Not which enough.
Also, red flag.
Right. They could not have. So, you know, they are essentially breaking up because what he wants and what she wants are not the same. Mm-hmm. And here's my favorite line of the night. If you're breaking up with me and giving me drugs, because he decides to give her as a parting gift, a bag of weed.
Like a blunt. Joint. A joint. One joint.
It was a joint. It was a joint. Like, this is your going away present. Man, like, screw you.
Sorry I broke your heart.
Here's a joint.
Like, got you in big trouble at school. Like,
right.
Sorry, I'm just dumping you after letting you, like, sing for an entire summer that we would be together. Here's a joint. Hope that makes up for it.
God.
Even though you don't smoke weed.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Like, that, ugh. So, it makes me cringe thinking about it.
It's terrible.
That's
the last we see of Mr. Oleander, but we do get that iconic scene of Paige and Alex getting stoned and going to the college career fair. And like I said earlier, before we were recording, it was clearly written and like directed by someone who does not really understand what it's like to be stoned. That happens a lot on this show, though. Like, I mean,
clearly,
since my parents don't listen, like, full disclosure, I went to theater school. I feel like that says enough.
Yeah,
like, about my experience with drugs.
They were there.
They were definitely there.
They were there.
Like, now, I just, like, that scene is so funny with, like, the shaky, wavy camera.
Oh, my, and just, like, the idea of, like, you're just staring at somebody and you just want to, like, they take off some recruiter's glasses and put them on.
It's completely wild. Like, it's, like, do y'all know what weed is like?
It's like watching somebody get drunk for the first time. That's what that is. It's like, this is about a day drinking.
This felt way more like a drunk scene.
This is about a day drinking.
Than smoking a joint.
But oh my God. But
it
yeah.
was funny. So that closes out Paige and Mr. O, though.
God, thank God. Because that was, like, I just, look, here, we'll talk about it later. Look, I'm just,
when we get to hindsight.
We'll talk about it. But yes. All right. So I guess the next one would be Sav and Winnie O.
Also Winnie. Miss O, but Miss I think o. it's O-H mm-hmm. instead of like just like they were shortening Oleander before.
Right. There's quite a few O's, isn't there?
I know, it's strange.
She's like the third O that we've had. Yes, so anyways, so So what? How did Winnie come on the show?
She comes on the show when Snake becomes principal.
Right.
And she is the new media immersion teacher.
Right. And so this is during
also the band teacher, I guess. And there's a lot of times that I'm like, what does Miss O teach?
Right.
Like, this is a high school. You would have specialized in something.
This is yes. So there's definitely a good bit of like music courses. Like, it's weird because like, you don't really see much of like a band program.
They have like the Niner band when Maya and Tori and Tristan are all in the band, and Maya's like sitting there playing her cello and like showing out, and like plot is like such like a cute little C plot.
These extracurriculars like just kind of pop up as needed.
The gymnastics teams that disappears.
Right.
Field hockey, never seen again.
Right. That was the shortest lived team ever. And, you know, like, I think the other, like, sport that really lasted besides, like, maybe basketball and the Spirit Squad / Power Squad is the football team.
Then the hockey team from when the Ice Girls come. That's on there for quite some time.
I think there was, like, the hockey team, like, between the girls and the boys, though.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple things.
Random stuff.
Extracurriculars just come and go. I guess the drama club is always a thing.
Right.
Drama, as Jason would say.
Oh, yeah, wrestling. When Toby was trying to join the wrestling team.
Oh, yeah, that's a wrestling.
Look, sorry, y'all.
Miss O teaches music, and the way this all starts is because she's trying to get the music together for Eli's play.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called?
Love
Roulette. I was like, why did Love Roulette exit my brain? The one about Vegas Night. Mm-hmm. And like, Sav wants to get into music school, and he's a senior at this point. And she like asks him to come to a meeting about the music, and he thinks it's kind of like a flirty thing, which like come to find out she does like him later, but like gross. And then like also Mo is there. And Mo does like a lot of like hyping this up for Sav.
Yeah.
Listen, Mo is a teenage boy. It's I am not gonna like put the blame on any of the children in these situations. Like Mo is also like, yeah, Miss O was hot. And like, yeah, this actress is very pretty.
Yeah, I remember
she's fairly young too.
Like, right. This particular actress was in another N show called Instant Star. So she's a singer.
I never watched Instant Star. I need to watch it.
You got to. And plus you gotta listen to Alex Johnson's music. Instant Star is a good show. I loved it. But yeah, so she was coming from Instant Star. So this is actually from like season 11. Golly.
Yeah, this is season 11 when this all happens, because it's right before Sav graduates.
Mm-hmm.
Because Holly J has broken up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like sad, and he's like trying to like get into something new or something. Right. And like, I like Sav and Holly J, just as a side note.
I was rooting for them. I really was rooting
for them. Because I hate Holly J and Declan, and I hate Sav and Anya.
Yeah. So, yes,
those are bottom tier relationships for me.
They were, because like they were both like ambitious. They were both super smart and
funny. And I think Sav softened Holly J quite a lot, like because she like could be more doofy around him, and like they were just sweet together. But besides the point,
right?
Mo is like hyping this thing up, and like he's like, yeah. Like after they, you know, finish like competing to do these things and start working together. But Mo like gives, like Sav writes this song for Miss O about how much he thinks she's hot. It's called like Oh Girl. Oh,
God.
Listen, objectively it was better than his song for Anya. But that was age appropriate. My one and only Anya.
Oh God. My gosh.
Hilarious. And like Mo like sends it to her.
Yeah, just instigating crap. And I think but you know, this teenage boys are thinking, oh yeah, hindsight, you know how it's viewed with not only just like male teachers and teenage girls, but then also like female teachers. and teenage boys. Like, it's this weird dynamic of who you think, and it's usually on the side of the woman or girl on who's making the moves and being the inappropriate one, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's usually that dynamic. But we'll discuss that a little bit later. So, like, she invites Sav out to, like...
No, I think they just run into the...
Yes, okay, yes, okay. Like,
that part is so weird.
But like, they hang out, and, like, she lets him call her Winnie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, No,
he has not graduated, baby. He's not graduated.
That's too comfortable. That's too comfortable. Don't do that. And it's like, he sees her the next day at school and calls her by her first name.
Because she told him he could.
Right. But, of course, she has to play it off like, don't do that. That's so inappropriate.
She's like, it's Miss O.
And right.
Like, of course she's confused.
Well, of course, like, Mo's, like, right there. Thinking, like, oh, yeah, she's totally into you, dude. And then that happens. Like, oh, no, maybe not. But deep down, she's like, oh, yeah, it's okay.
So gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, of course, like, Sav has been confiding in Mo, saying, like, him and Miss O have been, like, hitting it off really well. Mm-hmm. You know, things are taking a turn. So apparently, she's only 23 at this time. She looks a little bit older than 23.
It's still inappropriate.
It's still inappropriate. No, very true. No, like, you're an adult, and he's still a child. Yes, yeah. He's 18, but there's still a different point in your life.
He's still a student at your school,
right?
And I know he's not in her class, but she is a teacher at his school.
Right,
he is a student.
Yes.
And it's just inappropriate,
mm-hmm.
no matter how you paint it. Like, and I think that there's, like, at one point, like, that, like, she, like, has him alone in a classroom together, which I don't know how we haven't learned from Snake and Darcy that this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, what's that?
Because we've seen, like, things like this multiple times, not even just with Darcy and Simpson, but, like, Liberty and Coach Armstrong.
And that wasn't inappropriate at all.
Yes, but, like, someone saw them and ran with it. Same thing with Emma. JT. Yeah, Emma. And then same thing with JT and Haslakis.
Yep.
Nothing was going on there, but, like, he made her feel uncomfortable because, like, at this time, like, Miss H is, like, the hot science teacher.
Yeah, and they called her Miss Hot Sauce. And, like,
right.
They thought she was hot.
Like, right. So, like,
all the time.
Like, and when you hear that from your students, like, I wouldn't feel comfortable being around those students because that would.
Yeah, those students, as a teacher, like, I have worked with, like, seventh grade boys, like, because, like, I've worked with girls of, like, all ages, but, like, and that's one thing. But, like, if boys in my class were talking about me like that, I would be so uncomfortable.
I'd be so uncomfortable. I'd be grossed out. And, like, I would need to have, like, a conversation with my administration there saying, like, hey, y'all, this is not appropriate. Number one. Number two, gross. Number three, like, this could be considered harassment because you're making me feel uncomfortable.
You are making me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Like, should be the appropriate response from a teacher is to feel uncomfortable when students are talking about you like that.
Right. So, back to Miss O.
Oh, yeah, Miss O. Yeah, she, like, has him alone in a room, and she, like, plays him, like, a love song.
And she wrote a song for him.
And it's like, look, I get it. Raymond Black was an attractive young man.
He was, actually.
But,
yes.
Like,
I can't deny that.
He's still attractive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, he's beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And I feel comfortable saying that because, like, technically he's closer to my age. So,
yeah, like, exactly.
Right. I feel okay with that. Because
this is inappropriate.
It was. But I think she has an inkling of, like, yeah, this is not appropriate. I should really ease off. But, like...
Yeah, because she freaks out after she plays a song, too.
Mm-hmm. But, like, too late, they kiss, and the next thing you know, there's rumors flying around about their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, that has them end up in Simpson's office, and he's just like, yo, what's the deal? What the hell are you doing?
Listen, poor Simpson. Mm-hmm. As principal, he has to deal with so much.
Oh my god.
This is after Vegas night.
He's seen so much, and he's just like,
he was there for the shooting.
Right. He's gone through cancer and all this other, like he's been through the ringer. Right. He's been through the ringer. Poor Mr. Simpson. But like, and plus he's known these kids for so long.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so so make sure that Miss O isn't fired. Like Sav says, like it's a rumor that he started with his friends, like to seem cool. And so it
once again, lying to protect the adult in the situation.
Right. Regardless if they ask you to or not, the fact that you would need to is
feel the need to lie.
Right. You already know that it's not okay. And so like they leave the office, like, you know, they slid under the radar as much as they could by that point. And she's like, we shouldn't have done this. Like, we should not be doing
Correct. We should not be doing this.
But there's still feelings there. And so there's still some back and forth. And so I guess it's more of like thinking like, okay, well, you know, graduation's coming up. Mm-hmm. Look me up then.
Even that is like still weird, but like still weird to me. At least like because he would have just graduated.
But then like the thing is though, Sav tells Mo about them hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, he tells him he's gonna hook up with her after school is out. You know, they go on a date. Kissing them, even though they won't be seeing each other for much longer, because he's going to college. What's the point, honestly?
Honestly, what's the point of even trying to do anything after graduation? Mm-hmm. At that point, like,
yeah. But so eventually they break up. And so I'm reading some of this wiki just so that I can remember like details because my memory is
like, one of the things that he does is like he's kind of upset that he doesn't have a prom date. Mm-hmm. And he wants to do something special with her at prom because, like, he wants to be romantic. And he's literally, like, talking to Holly J, who he's mm-hmm. just broken up with. Mm-hmm. And he's like, are there any, like, she's, like, literally about to get her kidney. Like, they're in the hospital when they have this conversation. And, like, he's like, are there any, like, you know, sneaky corners I could hide away in at this prom venue? And she's like, no.
Stop. So,
like, he and Mo come up with this plan to, like, get into Degrassi and set up this whole, like, romantic thing with, like, twinkly lights. And this all pans out. And Miss O leaves her job as a chaperone at prom mm-mm. to go make out with a student. Mm-hmm. I know that he's about to graduate, like, the next day, but, like, still a student.
Right.
And,
Get fired for one day.
During that, her leaving, that's when Adam gets shot.
Mm.
And she feels, like, really guilty because she feels like, well, I was supposed to be chaperoning. I should have noticed that there was an adult man in this room who we didn't know. And that's when she gets mad and kind of, like, pushes Sap away.
Yeah.
And then, like, post-graduation, they have, like, a conversation, like, on the steps of Degrassi. And Allie is, like, there, but she's, like, walking away. Mm-hmm. And like waiting for Sav, and he's like, he like kisses her. Like, I'm just like, what is happening? And that's like the end of it. It's the end of Sav and Mizzou, as far as we know.
And this is honestly like pretty tame as far as teacher.
Oh, yeah. Student. When we get into Tristan and Yates in a second, like, this is tame compared to that.
Yeah. Like, even like Matt and Paige were team-ish, but this is probably
neither of these two people slept with the
right. This is the tamest of this. Not saying that like it makes it any better, just saying like as far as like how things could have gone, this is pretty tame.
Yeah. I think it's weird that Miss O continues to be on the show as a teacher though.
Mm-hmm.
And like, she's, like, never really held accountable for this. Because at least there's accountability for both, like, Mr. Oleander and Mr. Yates.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no accountability whatsoever for Miss O. Like, she just, like, feels guilty that Adam got shot.
Cute, but I need you to, like, feel remorse for not doing your job and being, like, an adult here. So.
Exactly. Like, it's like, yeah, you should feel guilty about that. But, like, also for hooking up with a student.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. it. And right. Speaking of Grant and Mr. Gates, do you want to move on to that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Girl, I have a lot of notes. I just watched this.
I'm ready for the notes. Let's do it.
All right. So the first time that we see Grant Yates is in Army of Me. It's an episode in season 13. So the, yeah. It's been a little... We've had at least one season without an inappropriate teacher.
Just, you know.
Like, he is what I call immediately insufferable. Because he, like, so wants to be the teacher from Dead Poets Society. Like, so badly.
Oh, God, those teachers.
It's one of my favorite movies, but you know what? It only works for Robin Williams, guys. It only works for Robin Williams.
So, like, more one of those, like, guys that go into teaching, but they really think they should be teaching college and be a professor, and because they can be, like, philosophical and profound, but they end up teaching high school, and they just sound really, like, pretentious.
Yeah, so, like, he literally, like, makes references to the Algonquin Round Table, and he's, like, he says, like, I just want you to think of us as teaching each other. And I'm like, bro, no, you're the teacher. Like, sure, you do learn from your students, but, like, you don't say that.
That sounds, like...
It's pretentious. It is. Told you, immediately insufferable. and he wants to start a playwriting collective. And, of course, Tristan's coming in hot after being in Romeo and Jules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, yes, I'm an actor. This is my new identity, which, you know what, I understand I went through that in high school, too. I'm an actor. This is my new identity.
Right.
This is how I will find love, and this is how I will find happiness and fulfillment, because I am depressed.
Well, this is how I completely define my life.
Yeah, that's literally what it is. Mm-hmm. And, like, Tristan really wants in, but, like, he's just like, if I choose you to be in our playwriting collective, you will get a secret note, and, like, you don't get to tell anyone about it. It's weird. It is very weird. And, like I said, he wants to be this Dead Poets Society teacher so badly. You know what Robin Williams' character didn't do in Dead Poets Society? Hang out with the kids in the Dead Poets Society. They did that on their own by themselves.
Right.
Like, it would be inappropriate for him to go into the woods with the children.
God, oh, so this is where, like, they take that fantasy of being this philosophical person that completely influences the younger generation way too seriously, way too seriously.
And the next time we see Tristan, he is, like, texting his parents because he has a dentist appointment, but apparently his parents are fighting at home, and like, he gets, like, up text and says, like, your mother will take you. And the next one says, like, your father will take you. Like, he's like, well, somebody needs to take me to my freaking dentist appointment. Because
I hate that. Yeah.
As it turns out, Tristan is still too young to drive. As a reminder, he's a baby.
Yeah, he's a baby.
Listen, it is, like, very popular in the fandom to hate Tristan, as we discussed earlier. I love Tristan. I particularly love Tristan in The Next Generation. He does get a little more insufferable in Next Class, but, like, I can't look at Tristan during this plot line and see anything but, like, a kid who's being completely groomed and who just wants love. Like, that's all he wants.
So he's being, like, groomed during a difficult time in his life.
And his brother's just moved out, so it's just him at home, because Owen's graduated. Not that I feel like Owen would be, like, a big support, because Owen is garbage, but, like...
Yeah. Right.
Yates rolls up, and Tristan, like, he calls it problem vomits, which is hilarious. He's, like, just, you know, ranting about how frustrated he is about his parents might be divorcing. And he's, what I wrote down here is, like, he's literally being vulnerable to what turns out to be a predator.
Right.
Like, Yates right now should be, like, a trusted teacher.
Right.
Like, it makes sense for Tristan to open up to a trusted teacher and be like, I'm really worried about my parents possibly getting a divorce. And, like, instead of, like, being like, do you want to go talk to the guidance counselor? Like, we can go together. We'll get the guidance counselor involved. Like, you might be struggling with this. Like, no. Instead, Yates is like, I will drive you to your dentist appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you should never be alone with a student in a car. Like, why are you driving that student to their dentist appointment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, maybe he could have been like, oh, let's call you a cab. Like,
right.
Like, but you don't. Also, don't you have work? Were you leaving in the middle of the school day to take a kid to your dentist appointment?
Yeah, it's all too much. It's too much. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my eye is watering because I have allergies real bad right now.
No.
So Zoe does get an invite to the Playwriting Collective.
Mm-hmm. Bless you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Told you, allergies. Zoe gets invited to the Playwriting Collective, but not Tristan. And Gates, like, makes a point to say, in front of Tristan, remember to make sure that the details of the meeting are secret. Like, specifically to make him feel bad. Like, I've noticed that he, like, negs Tristan a lot throughout all of this. And it, like, makes me really mad.
That's the grooming. Like, you're playing with someone's emotions that way.
Yeah, like, you're tearing him down so that you can be the one to build him back up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what he's doing. Like, my next, he literally insults his previous essays and calls them, quote-unquote, phoned in.
Mm.
Like, oh my god, rude.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, why is this writing collective in the woods?
Look,
they're trying to be Dead Poets Society so bad.
And so, of course, like, he's offended by a critique of his writing, but, like, later on during an actual meeting in the woods with the collective, like, mm-hmm. Tristan, like, shows up. He wants to be there. It's kind of
violent. He literally, like, stalks them. That was my next note. Like, he's, like, literally, like,
right,
swatting at the flies,
like he clearly wants to be part of this group, and so Mr. Yates like makes him think of a poem at the top of his head, this is all very cringy.
It's very cringy, and then he says, "I wanted you to prove yourself, and now I see you're awesome. And don't tell anyone else this; you'll probably end up being my favorite student."
Grooming.
And then after that, he says to call him Grant.
This is, oh my god. Like, so, like, you're emotionally playing with someone that's clearly going through something traumatic at home. Mm-hmm. You know that they want something. And so you're playing with their feelings to, I guess, so they can feel, like, beholden to you. Like, oh, you proved yourself. Mm-hmm. And this person thinks I'm their favorite. And so now, and they let me call them by their first name. And
yeah,
all red flags. And, you know.
Total red flags. Yeah. So it's, like, the next episode, though. And, like, Tristan, like, rolls up to the school, like, dressed like Yates. Like, he has, like, the leather jacket on and everything. And, like, Maya is the hero of this whole story, in my opinion. She tells him that, like, students and teachers can't be friends.
Yep.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Oh, no, this one I wrote down because I was like, oh, my God, I hate this man. They're at the Playwriting Collective, and Zoe is reading her character profile. And he says, I wonder if daddy issues isn't a little cliche.
Oh my god.
You cannot say the words daddy issues.
This guy is clearly pretentious, and like he's taking it out on these high schoolers. Like this mm-hmm. guy clearly does not need to be working with children.
Oh yeah, and then like he insults Tristan too, because like Tristan gives literally gets like two lines out about this character he made up. And he says it's lacking in depth and specificity. And I'm like, you literally didn't let him finish.
So like, pause for a second. Because, like, clearly we're seeing him being abusive to Tristan. Like, clearly you can see the abuse, the emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, completely trashing him in front of his peers and about something that he enjoys doing. At least the writing and the acting and all that stuff. Like, he's enjoying this, and, like, he's being completely disrespected and trashed for it. But then, like, a little later, he's like, I'm just trying to push you. I'm doing this for you.
And for you. It's so gross.
And it's clearly abuse, and it's clearly a tactic. And, ugh. And every time we're going to talk about, every time this happens, we get an example of this, I'm going to keep bringing that up. Like,
yeah, so like Tristan wants to drop out of this collective because he feels silly because Yates is like talking him down and like
mm-hmm.
like literally just being a jerk to him. So why would he want to do it anymore? Like
mm-hmm.
and he wants to drop out, and then like what Yates says is, I was being tough on you because I didn't want to show you favoritism. And then he gives him a copy of the love letters between Eloise and Avalard, and Tristan's like, one, that's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
like Abelard and Heloise. I don't know what it is. Like, and like he's like, unfortunately, it doesn't have a happy ending. And he suggests that he reads this book, and it's about a teacher and a student relationship. And like Gross. They get caught, and basically, he gets the man gets castrated and becomes a eunuch, and like the girl becomes a nun, and they just write love letters their whole lives. And Tristan tells Zoe about it, and he was like, I think he didn't say it was from Yates though. And he's like, do you think this guy likes me? And Zoe says, run as fast as you can. This dude sounds like trouble. And I'm like, God bless Maya and Zoe right now, because like Tristan needs to hear it.
Yeah, so like if you like, because you can't see my face, like my tongue is literally sticking out like a like yeah.
And I just okay, this is like the next episode that we see. There's only two more episodes with this. And then there's a mention in the finale that's also important to note. So it's the episode Hypnotize, which is the one where they have like the fashion show that Imogen like destroys all of the costumes and makes them out of trash. And like Zoe has to wear a dress made of like pads. But it's also, I was like, I love like the contrast of these stories. This is so serious, and it's just like Imogen making garbage clothes.
These AB plots.
They're so funny. But Tristan is like auditioning to MC for the student council fashion show fundraiser night. And he sings this really, I watched this morning, so like, he sings this really cute song called like, Degrassi, you make drama look so good. And it's like adorable, and I love it. And Yates is there and he hears it and he's like super supportive and he's like saying how talented that Tristan is out loud. And like, yes, Tristan is talented, but this is a little weird. Like, and then like, what is it? Tristan is talking about how much he likes Grant, and Maya and Zoe both seem pretty skeptical about it. Thank God. The girls are right. Like, the girls are right.
Mm-hmm.
And after class, he asks Yates if he can help him with his like interstitials for the show, and Yates is like, it's called banter. And I'm like, ew. But he tells him that like, if he wants him to help today, he can't do it at school. It has to be at his place, which red flags, red flags, red flags, red flags.
Right.
Gross. And then he says, don't mention it to anyone. Just don't want the other students getting jealous. And then Tristan says it'll be our little secret.
Mm.
I hate it. My next note is just, no.
Don't do it. And the funny thing is, I know we'll talk about how the writers handle this, but like this particular relationship is written so differently
than the other two.
Yes, we have like some obvious like fuckboy red flags with Matt Oleander, but like,
yeah, but those are more like fuckboy red flags than like I'm grooming you and abusing you, red flags.
Right.
And so,
I think this is one of the ones where like you could kind of, I don't know if there's anybody that really cheered on Matt and Paige. I don't think there's really, I think Paige
cheered that on.
Yeah. But even like Sav and Misael, because you clearly those are wrong, but it's like there's no way for you to fathomly cheer this relationship on. in this sense. Like you can clearly see like this is purely an abusive relationship forming.
Oh, absolutely. Because like, he's nagging him.
Yeah.
He's love bombing him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like
clearly a narcissist. Taking advantage of
the fact that like this boy is really in a tumultuous place in his life. He's a gay teenager.
Mm-hmm.
His parents are probably getting a divorce. Like he needs like some like a soft place to land, and he doesn't have it right now. So he's taking advantage of Tristan's vulnerability.
So like we have a clear like narcissist on our hands here, as opposed to like the other two, where it's slightly more romanticized.
Yes, and I agree. So I think they are a little less nefarious. They're wrong, but like this is like straight up nefarious.
Right.
All right. So after no was like, Tristan rolls up to the apartment and my pedophile sensors are going off like crazy. That's what I said. He brought like snacks and he's so nervous and he's so cute and he's like, he brought like hummus and everything and he's like super nervous and he's like, I've never been in a teacher's apartment before. And Grant says, if it helps, then don't think of me as a teacher. And then he says, then how am I supposed to think of you? And he says, creative collaborator.
Ew.
And I'm like, okay, this red flags, red flags.
Yeah.
Ew. And then he like disappears and he's like, I gotta put out the snacks. I'll go get us something to drink. You want to think that it's gonna be sodas or like seltzer or juice.
Juicy
no.
Juice.
No, it's no, juice no. Box. It's absinthe. Absinthe. And then, of course, Tristan is like, oh my god, like in Baz Luhrmann's film, Moulin Rouge. And then Grant's all like, yes, but I prefer Romeo and Juliet, which you know is going to get straight to Tristan's little heart because he played Jules in Romeo and Jules. He hated it.
It's cringing.
It's so cringy.
It is. Oh.
And oh, yeah, he says he thinks he'll like it. If not the taste, then at least the romance of the ritual. Oh, it's so nasty.
Like, this is, the other two, like, does not, they don't even compare to, like, how much this really bothers me.
Yeah, like, it's so gross.
Like, yes, we're supposed to be talking about this because we know these are inappropriate relationships, but my god, like, talking about it, like, reliving, like, watching this and, like, thinking this over.
Listen, and then, like, Tristan, like, they cut away and they come back and they're working on the interstitials and the banter. Mm-hmm. And nothing has really happened yet, but Tristan is clearly tipsy. Like, he's clearly tipsy. He's having a good time. He makes a Gone with the Wind reference, and Grant's like, I don't think I've met anyone your age who's even seen Gone with the Wind, which, by the way, Gone with the Wind is trash. And Tristan is like, I'm not like most people my age, which this is classic grooming. Like, to be like, oh, you're so mature for your age. Like, Tristan is not mature because he likes classic movies. He's not mature because he likes, like, because he can make a Frankly, My Dear, I Don't Give a Damn reference.
Look, he's not mature at all. He's a child.
Like, he can't drive himself to his dentist appointment.
Right. Like, he's a child. And you're a creep.
And, like, eventually, like, Grant, like, grabs Tristan's hand, but it's, like, on Tristan's thigh. Mm. And, like, they kiss, and it's, honestly, they kiss, and it's awful. Grant like wants to move on like super fast, like he like literally like is starting to straddle Tristan and like starts to like unzip his pants and Tristan freaks the fuck out.
Sorry, and, y'all, I'm gonna remind y'all of the trigger warning just for those that have been in like a inappropriate abusive relationship. I should have done that before we started with Tristan and Yates' relationship, but like I said at the beginning of the show, like for those of you that have dealt with a relationship like this, trigger warning, we are sorry, and you know,
so this stuff is really dark and not, it can be very disturbing to people, especially if you've like experienced something like this,
and we will have like resources posted on our on the notes for the show.
Definitely. So listen, like Tristan freaks out when he starts to try to undo his pants, which fair, and he panics and he basically runs out. What happens next is he wants to have a girl talk and like figure it out with Maya, because this is before he has his falling out with Maya. But she's not home, so of all people, he ends up talking to Zig, who has absolutely no idea what's going on. And like, I genuinely do not feel like Zig would have given him this advice if he knew who he was talking about. Because Zig is a dumb baby, but like, he would not want Tristan to be in this situation. And they go through like this weird little magazine test with one of Maya's teen magazines to figure out if he feels like he's ready to have sex. And somehow they land on the, yes, he's ready to have sex thing, which I don't even know, like, if you've only been like alone with a person like once in general, probably not ready to have sex.
Look, if you gotta look at a teen magazine to figure out if you're ready to have sex, then listen
up. If you can't just like candidly talk about sex with your partner that you want to have sex with,
right,
then you are not ready to have sex with that person.
Inappropriate age gap like aside,
Yeah, just in mm-hmm. general, that's just my life advice for people. If you cannot candidly talk about sex with the partner you want to have sex with, you don't need to be having sex with them.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, end of my PSA. So Tristan goes to apologize to Yates at school, which I was like, at school? And then he, like, negs the shit out of him again. Because he says, I thought you were mature. Obviously, I was wrong. And then later, it's like the end of the episode, Tristan rolls up to the apartment again, and he goes, I know I freaked out before. It was only because I was surprised. I know you think I'm immature, but I'm not. I'm mature. I'm ready. Insert me barfing at this grown man saying, get in here, and dragging him in. Like, because, like, he goes, get in here, and, like, pulls him in, and they start making out. And, like,
This is so sad.
Yeah, listen, my barfing is an appropriate response to this. That's like, sad. Oh, it's God. So gross. And then this is the last episode about this. And he is, like, it's out of my head. It's the next episode. And Tristan is, like, dancing down the hallways, and he's actually singing, like, I want to dance with somebody. Because in his head, this is just the most romantic thing. His secret torrid love affair. Mm-hmm. Tristan loves love. Like,
yeah,
that is just who Tristan is. He wants to be loved. He wants to love someone. Like I just remember him in Romeo and Jules just feeling really self-conscious about his first kiss being with Dave, which fair, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Or like, but also like you're a young teenager, queer boy.
Yep.
And like your first real relationship is with someone.
Oh yeah, because this older. Is his first real relationship.
Right.
Okay, so Maya, like, runs into him, and she's trying to be so supportive. She's like, what's up? You're so happy. Like, you never sing Whitney, like, unless you're, like, really happy. Like, their friendship is, like, adorable. And she just wants a girl talk with him. You know? Like, she just wants to talk about, like, what's making him so happy, because she's, right. like, she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Maya and Tristan have been through a lot together. Like, we don't ever really talk about, like, Cam's death, how that mm-hmm. affected Tristan, but, like, mm-hmm. he was friends with him, too. And, right. Like, they've just been through a lot together. And then he opens his locker, and there's, like, a handwritten note from Yates to, like, meet him in the supply closet before class. And I'm like, bro, do janitors not go in your supply closet?
No,
I'm not concerned about it at all?
Not on teen TV shows. They never actually go into the supply closet, because that's where all the things happen.
And then he lies, and he says it's Becky. It's a note from Becky, and Maya's little paranoia, worried little sensors come up, because Maya, like, I love Maya as a character. Maya and I have this in common, actually. When I was younger, I wanted to control everything around me to make sure everybody was safe. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a trauma response. It's absolutely a trauma response.
Right.
And I think they write that very well in Maya. Mm-hmm. But she's kind of like, something is not right.
Right.
I don't know what's not right, but something is not right. And because she can tell Tristan was lying to her.
Right.
And then, like, Grant, like, practically jumps him in the supply closet. And it is just so uncomfortable, because Tristan looks so little and sweet and, like, Grant's all scruffy and, like, it's so nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Tristan is all happy, and he's like, I just want to shout it from the rooftops. And then, like snap, like, on a dime, he's like, you can't. Like, he's so forceful with him, and I'm like,
ugh. Yeah.
Like, I want to punch this man. Like, get away from my sweet baby angel. Like, Tristan is baby, especially during this part,
mm-hmm.
and get away from him. I would throw hands.
Right.
Like, I literally wrote, Tristan looks so little. And then, like, they get to class, and it's Mr. Yates' class. And Maya's, like, prying because she sees, like, a big old hickey on Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, if you're trying to have a secret relationship.
We're not even going to give that advice. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm just saying. That's not the move.
No.
Hickeys. Like, it's just stupid. And she's, like, spill. Also, hickeys are just tacky. Just mm-hmm. in general. Like, and he gets, like, really snippy with her. But then when Mr. Yates walks in, he gets all, like, moony-eyed. And, like, she figures it out. Like, she goes, Mr. Yates?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's appropriately scandalized and grossed out.
Yes.
Which makes, like, it makes Tristan really uncomfortable and, like, angry. And, like, because I don't think he wants to hear that it's inappropriate. I think somewhere in his brain, he knows it's not appropriate.
Right.
Like, but he doesn't want to hear about it.
No, like, because he's getting affection and attention from someone.
Exactly.
When his life is clearly in shambles.
Exactly. And, yeah, he says, like, oh, yeah, no, Tristan says, he's not, like, a teacher. He's cool. And Maya says, it does not matter. He's still an authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, thank you.
Right.
Maya.
Yes, voice of reason.
She literally says, like, we need to tell Simpson. And Tristan makes her promise not to tell. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Like, and what happens? Oh yeah, like the next time we see him, he's backstage and they're getting ready for the fashion show, and like he's gabbing with Zoe and she doesn't know who he's dating either.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's like, I got a hot date tonight, and like he won't tell her who, but then like that very moment it's like Tristan Milligan to the office immediately.
Right.
And Simpson asks him, like, straight up just, like, asks him if he's having a sexual relationship. And Tristan is like, who told you that? Which is a bit of the response of, like, somebody who's, like, more concerned about who told you that than to be like, ew, no.
Right.
And, like, Simpson is obviously, like, suspicious because he's like, okay, why are you more concerned about
who told me? Like, because my first response would be like, no. And I would ask, like, where did that information come from? Because I want to know, like, who's talking shit about me?
Yeah, I know, but that would not be my first.
But that's my main thing. I'm like, no, I'm going to make sure this is refuted. No, this is not true.
And because if I wasn't hooking up with a teacher, then I would immediately be like, what?
What? Ew, no.
No, like, who's saying that about me?
Right.
That's disgusting.
Right.
But, like, Simpson is like, why are you so worried about him? Did he threaten you? Did he tell you something bad would happen if anyone found out?
Right.
And I'm, like, thinking about, like, the dynamic of this because Simpson was falsely accused of, like
sexual,
sexual relationship with Darcy. Like, I'm just gonna say, like, he is handling this really well for somebody who would, like, you would think, like, if you had been falsely accused, you might be... although it is Archibald Snake Simpson who is the best.
But like he was like, accused of like sexual assault, like legit.
Yeah,
like, her being the one that hurt Darcy.
Yeah, which have I ever forgiven Darcy for that? No.
But, yeah, because like yes, and like it's one.
I'm just like proud of Snake for like not immediately being.
I was
like,
about to say something that would be like problematic, and I don't want to feel. Don't want to see this problematic thing, so I'm not gonna keep it to myself. Yes, because like there's no comparison of like the inappropriate relationship and sexual assault, but it's just like these are very like extreme things with intent. I don't know, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I was just saying that like he could have been like the teacher who like after that happened like
would not believe any
the teacher.
Yeah, would
like,
not believe a student
immediately, but like he's like. I mean, Snake is the best. I love him so much. Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, him just being, like, did he tell you something bad would happen if anyone found out is, like, so on the nose. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, good job, Snake.
Right.
But what happens is Tristan decides to bail on the fashion show because he's worried about Mr. Yates now because he denies everything, denies. And, like, he finds Yates and he is rightfully suspended pending an investigation into their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And Tristan is upset because like Yates is being really like awful to him, and he's like, they asked me but I denied everything, and like Yates basically says like, don't be so naive, like slams the door, says like, we can't see each other anymore, hops into his little Fiat and like peels out of the parking lot.
And completely blames Tristan.
Like completely blames Tristan, even though Tristan is the child in the situation.
Exactly.
And also Tristan even denied everything. Like it's just like, and we obviously know that Maya told Simpson.
Right.
Like, and I have to tell you that, like, I think the scene where Tristan confronts Maya about this is iconic. Mm-hmm. It's one of the better acted scenes in the entire series. Both of these actors do an incredible job in this scene. And, like, she is so worried about him. And he's so upset because, like, you know, he was vulnerable, like, he was, like, in this place, and, like, he's, like, saying, like, you get to have all these epic romances, and I don't get to have that, and she says, I want you to have that, but not with him, and, like, he says, you get to have a million guys in love with you and a perfect home, and I just wanted this one good thing, but you, of all people, ruined it for me, and then he cuts her out of his life. He's like, I never want to talk to you again.
But sweetie, this was not a good thing.
Yeah, this was, this it takes not even... a really long time for them to get back into friendship. And like, this is where like, that's kind of the way the story ends. But I wanted to like side note that like, in Thunderstruck, which is the finale for that season, Tristan and Miles are hanging out with Winston and Frankie at the Hollingsworth house. And then that big storm comes in, which I don't know why nobody in Degrassi has a weather app and can plan for a storm. Like, they literally act like this, like, there's no, like, way we could have told that a storm was coming. Like,
do you guys not have Doppler radar? Come on.
Like, does Canada not have, like, a National Hurricane Center? Like, I'm just confused. But anyways, like, they're out there, and, like, they're playing, I feel like, charades or something. And, like, it comes up that Mr. Gates also tried to touch Winston, who is actually physically quite similar to Tristan. Like, he's a small, like, kind of skinny boy. And, like, they're calling him, like, Mr. Pervert and all of this stuff. And Tristan gets, like, really upset, and he's like, I thought we had a connection. And I think this is where he realizes was groomed.
Yes.
Like, he like, knows it. And, like, this is actually where Miles and Tristan finally get together, too. And I actually love Miles and Tristan together. But, like, I think that that was just such, like, a revelation. And it's, like, I wonder if, like, we as the audience would have wanted to see that happen with Winston. Like, in order to, like, contextualize it for us. But I guess, like, mentioning it later is also, like, we get to learn it as Tristan learns it.
Right. And you kind of get to see the realization.
But that is sort of the end of Tristan and Mr. Yates.
And that was rough. That was really rough to go through.
Really gross. Like, I think particularly the scene where they're, like, in the supply closet and, like, you...
Yeah.
And Tristan just looks so young. He's got his little bleach blonde hair. He's, like...
he's a sophomore by then, right? Yeah, he's still a sophomore.
They're sophomores at this point. So he's, like, what, 15?
Yeah.
And Gates has got to be, like, 23, 24.
Yeah.
Just looking at him, I don't know how... I don't think they ever mention his age.
But that's... clearly, like, someone that's just graduated from college. So, like, that's still...
Yeah.
You're still the... Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So...
that is the end of that story there.
Golly. So, like, this is where we come to the point where we ask, like, how do we think the writers handle this particular topic?
In hindsight, 30-30.
So, like... So this, so Tristan and Yates feels a lot similar to the Netflix miniseries, The Teacher.
I have not watched that.
Okay, so that one is, this one, that one is more of, you clearly get a better sense of like the trauma that the student, which is the victim in the situation, they are the victim, that they deal with and how it affects their relationships later on in life. This is a lot closer to that, where it's like, it's less about the teacher being like, you know, falling for the student and like
being tempted
and romanticizing it in a way, and then like there's no like real repercussions for the teacher. And like even with Matt and Paige, like yes, there's consequences, but it's still like, it's still romanticized. The most you really get with Matt is like he's a douchebag.
Yeah, like it's like Paige gets mad at the end, but there's not like any like long-term repercussions on her like mental health, which I think there are. Like I think you can see a lot of it with Tristan, like, as the series goes on, like, he's very insecure about things. Like, he's always, he just, like, wants love. Like, he literally doesn't talk to Maya for, like, half a year.
Right.
Like, he's traumatized, especially when he finds out that, like, he was not the only, like, kid that, like, he tried to touch and everything.
Right. And then, like, even with, so, like I said earlier, Sav and Winnie are, like, the tamest of these. Of these inappropriate relationships.
I just hate that there's no consequences for her.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that there's literally zero consequences. Like, particularly because she literally left the prom and Adam got shot. Like,
yeah.
On top of, like, the stuff, like, with...
Right, like you left your post to do something that was clearly inappropriate, and, like, someone got hurt because of it.
And you still need to come back and teach at this school.
Right. Like, there's no, like, you're not transferred, you're not, like, reprimanded, you're not whatever. Like, no, you still got your job.
Yeah, it's just weird. I feel like Degrassi did a lot better with Tristan and Yates than they did with either Matt and Paige or Miss O and Sav. Because the consequences on the victim were clear, and the consequences on the perpetrator were clear.
Yes.
Like, and that, I think they also did a lot better job, like, showing how it was, like, he was being groomed.
Right.
Like, they definitely, like, displayed the grooming, and, like, anybody who, like, knows what they're looking at, like, as an adult, you're like, oh, yeah, like, they're showing that, like, this adult is grooming this child, and, like, you see him negging him, and then love-bombing him, and then, like, telling him he's so mature for his age, and all of that stuff, and it's just, like, that was just much better. And it's like comparing it, like, because I know I've like compared it to like Secret Life of American Teenager, but like the teenage show I can think of at the time that was airing around the same time as this, and I watched at this time, was Pretty Little Liars.
Mm-hmm. And that, oh, I God.
Hate the romanticization of the relationship between Arya and Ezra.
Yes.
It is gross.
Yes.
It is uncomfortable.
It is.
They go out of their way to make that a romantic relationship.
Right. Yes. Like, so,
it's really nasty.
Yes. So I agree with that. So so in hindsight, we can clearly see like Degrassi isn't necessarily trying to like completely romanticize those first two relationships. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I guess more for the drama.
They're very surface level.
I think it's still, you can still spark a conversation of these relationships are not okay due to the power dynamics. You have someone who's an adult. They're both like, they're adults and they are forming these romantic relationships with these teenagers, children, people that are technically supposed to be like their wards while they're at school. For however long, 6-7 hours a day, and they are abusing that relationship and not being the adult that needs to make the responsible decision to set boundaries with those students.
Because even if, like, even if Sav is pursuing Miss O, or even if Paige is pursuing Mr. Oleander, and even if Tristan is pursuing Mr. Yates, their job at the end of the day is to set that boundary and keep a healthy boundary. Mm-hmm. Like, and all of these people have presumably been through teaching school, like, and through trainings, and like they're mandated reporters. I'm sure there's something similar in Canada. Like, it's not as though they don't know what their responsibility is.
Right. And then with Tristan and Yates, you have someone that is clearly breaking those boundaries, like intentionally breaking those boundaries with someone that is obviously young, naive, vulnerable.
Not only because of his parents, but because like he is like a queer child.
He's a queer child.
Living his life open and out of the closet.
Right. And you are taking it upon yourself to like, so he's getting through to him in a medium that he's clear, like Tristan is clearly like in love with doing, so with the movies and the acting and the writing, and like he's able to play with Tristan's emotions and be emotionally abusive to him, talking about how his work is horrible, his poor writing, and
but then turning around and being like, oh, I just didn't want to show you favoritism.
Right. Those
he's
are clear.
He makes my skin crawl.
Like, right. These are clear signs of a narcissism being abusive and preying on their victim. And I can appreciate that with this particular relationship because it's very like obvious. It's it's very overt, and no matter how cringy it is, that would be a type of relationship like I would be like super uncomfortable watching at any age, because it's just
it's hard to watch. Like it's difficult to watch this. And, like, I know that Tristan is really, really mad at Maya, but, like, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know how, like, how long this could have gone on.
Right.
You don't know how, like, how bad it could have gotten for him.
Yeah.
And, like, they do eventually, like, make up. And it's very sweet when they make up. It's because, like, she, like, gets assigned to be his, like, dance partner in PE.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally, like, sit down and have a talk. Like, Zig gives her some really good advice. And it's, I just watched this, like, literally last night with Alex. This mm-hmm. poor man. I have made him watch all of Degrassi. Like, oh, no, we're going to watch Summer Girls tonight, which is the crazy one with all the kidnapping.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a delight.
Oh, Alex, shout out to Alex for being such a trooper.
Listen, he's a great boyfriend. And I'm like, I'm tired from grad school. I need my comfort TV, babe.
Right. Yes, yes, exactly.
My brain is fried. I cannot take in any new information. I've read 5 chapters today of a very boring textbook. Because they told me yesterday that I had to have 5 chapters read by today.
Golly, I don't miss grad school.
So, I'm very happy, but, like, Jesus, I have not read this much in my whole life.
If I had the attention span to, like, focus on that stuff, I'd totally do it, but I can't right now. I can't. Look, the Vyvanse is great, but it doesn't, not, like, it's, like it gets me through the
two ADHD women trying to run a podcast and stay on topic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that will be, like, the essence of our show for the remainder of our time.
Just
a heads up, guys. But no, so hindsight is 30-30. Again, Degrassi doing this better than most American TV shows, for sure. Mm-hmm. Especially considering the overtness of, like, how to spot, like, grooming in a relationship. And yes, there's grooming in Matt and Paige's. There's some grooming in Sav and Winnie.
I definitely think there's some there, but, like, yeah. It's not as, like, nefarious seeming as it is with Yates for some reason.
Yes, and, like, we know it's clearly, like, this adult person is not putting boundaries or completely, like, dismantling those boundaries with these students.
Well, I think with, like, Miss O, like, we do see her, like, get upset about the fact that she has,
you can clearly you know that she's conflicted, but she still makes the wrong choice.
Yeah, she makes, like, she's, like, giving him, like, mixed CDs and kissing him, like bruh, you're making the wrong choice, but, like,
yeah,
at least you feel a little bad about it.
Yeah,
you see Oleander feel bad about Paige too. There's, like, a couple of times that he actually is like, no. But, right. Like, with Yates, it is literally just consistent grooming.
Right.
And it's gross and really difficult to watch.
Right. So I think Degrassi gets, like, an A+, at least for, like, not romanticizing, mm-hmm. Purely romanticizing these relationships, unlike Pretty Little Liars. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of any other shows I've seen where, like, there's, like, a student-teacher relationship. That's not, like, a Saturday morning special. After school special.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the main one that I can think of. Mm-hmm. I don't remember most of the plots from Secret Line of the American Teenager, to be honest.
There wasn't...
Did they ever have a teacher-student problem?
No, there wasn't a student-teacher problem.
Like, I don't watch a ton of, like, teen dramas. Degrassi is, like, my go-to.
There's been one with Gossip Girl, the newest rendition of Gossip Girl.
Oh, well, there was also one on the original Gossip Girl.
Okay, yeah.
With Dan Humphrey and the young teacher, mm-hmm. I think. And then, like, Blair was, like, bullying that teacher. It's been a while since I watched Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, and there's one that happened, this newest rendition of Gossip Girl. Fairly mm-hmm. similar, like, high school student and male student with male teacher that's clearly, like, a good-looking guy. And so, like, they actually... And plus, you know, they're, like, rich, elite kids going to adult places.
Yeah, they already feel like they're adults.
Right. But, like... It's not as overt with the grooming because they play into the whole, like, the student is pursuing you and pursuing the teacher. And this is, like, and then, like, the teacher kind of is also not really a great person either. So it's, like, this back and forth, but, like, it's mm-hmm. still not a good thing. It's still fairly romanticized in the sense of, like, it's both their faults.
Yeah.
it's a both of them thing. And as opposed to, like, it being what it is.
Well, all in all, like, just to wrap things up, I do feel like Degrassi did a pretty good job here. My only qualm is, like, the lack of Mizzo having any consequences.
Right.
Like, I think, that's where I land on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I appreciate, like, I think there should be more addressed with Tristan and how this relationship affected him beyond that.
Yeah,
beyond,
like, we get, like, the thing on the thunderstorm night.
But, right, like, beyond the fact that he wasn't the only one that Yates was technically abusing or pursuing or grooming, but just, like, how those types of, like, sexual relationships can really mess with your psyche and mess with how you pursue, not even pursue love or relationships, just, like, how you interact with those that you may be interested in.
I wonder how different the plot would have been if, instead of Maya telling Simpson, Winston reported it.
I wonder.
No, that's my little what if.
Yeah. I wonder about that, honestly. Right. And
because, like, it wouldn't have ruined Tristan and Maya's friendship. And also, Tristan would have known sooner that he was not the only person that Yates had touched.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I wonder if that would have made him, Tristan, like, would have taken that as, like, you're cheating on me, since, as opposed to, like, no, you're not a good person who's...
Yeah, because he's a baby. He's a baby.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's the way you view the world when you're in high school.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, well, that's my thought on that.
Yes. So that wraps up our episode of Going There with Degrassi. Thank you for joining us. Like I said earlier, we will post resources for those that this was a difficult conversation for in our show notes. You can find us on Twitter at GTW Degrassi. You can also find us, you can also email us. We might branch out into other social media soon, but that's basically it. Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks. All right, bye guys.
Bye, Panthers.
Brought to you by Ricky Z Social Media.